God gave us. And we bless the children as they go to children's church. Amen. The purpose of this series of sermons is to bring us together in a realization of who we are in God's family now. And that we've come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the only begotten Son who came to earth through the conception of the Virgin Mary of Nazareth, and who was and is sinless, but submitted himself to the plan of God, right? And he took all the sins, my sins, your sins, the sins of the whole world on himself, died on the cross in place of our sins. He was buried. He was dead, but God raised him from the dead. And he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father to eternal life, which he now gives to us freely. And all who trust in the Lord as Savior and Lord. And we've been using as a text for this series of messages, 1 John 3, 1 and 2. I'll read it from the King James Version. Father, we just thank you for your blessing upon your word, and help us hear from heaven what you're saying today. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. You know, I believe I've heard God speaking a word from heaven for us, that if we could just comprehend our identity in him, we would start living at a higher level of the God kind of life. There's a Greek word in the Bible called zoe, which is the life of God. And I believe if we could comprehend our identity in God to a greater degree, we would walk in a level of the God kind of life in the earth that we have not yet experienced. I don't know about you, but the more I find out about who I am in him, the more identity I take from him and my sonship in him, the more I find myself living out the life of a son of God. Don't you think it'd be an exciting life to be a son of God? The women become sons of God, and the sons become the bride of Christ. It's kind of a mystery, but you'll get it. But you can call yourselves sons and daughters of God if you like. Because this is what the Bible says. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. He calls you children of God. It's not a self-pronunciation. I'm not up here trying to tell you I'm something I'm not. I'm just telling you what God has called me. There's a voice out of heaven saying, you are the daughter of God. You are the son of the living God. He says, you're the sons of God. Behold, he says, look at it. Think about it. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him, John says. So don't expect anybody to recognize you. Oh, I see. You're the daughter of God. I better treat you better. Oh, you're the son of God. I better treat you better. No, they won't. They don't know you because they didn't know him. They will not validate you. The Bible, God's word, the Holy Ghost, the preachers of the gospel, they are the ones who will validate you and tell you who you really are. So don't expect the world to get it. But John is convinced here. And he writes in verse 2, beloved, now we are children of God. And everybody ought to say, hallelujah. And then he goes on with a more interesting statement than that. He says, now we are the sons of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Woo! So there's a lot more about who we are in the future ages to come that has yet to be shown. He goes on, he says, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How many have heard about Jesus coming again? So when he's revealed as lightning from the east to the west, when Jesus reappears on planet earth, how many have read the revelation of Jesus Christ? The last book in the Bible. It's not about the Antichrist. In fact, I'll give you a little something to go think about. The Antichrist isn't even in the book of Revelation. Go look up, read the whole thing and find the words Antichrist and come back. I'll give you a $100 bill. You won't find it. It's not in there. The beast and the false prophet are there. And a lot of people interpret symbols as one thing or another. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of symbols in the book of Revelation. He saw the sun and the moon. And he saw a big, big woman sitting on the moon. I could make a joke about the fat lady singing, but I'm not going to. You know, there's a lot of symbolism in the book of the Revelation. And don't get all tied up in knots looking at that. In every chapter, just ask yourself, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ in this chapter? Because that's what the book is about, right? And there's going to be a lot of eschatology talked about in these coming days because there's a lot going on in the world. But we need to focus on Jesus, and I believe he's coming again. And I believe that's what John is talking about here, is that we are who the Bible says we are now, but it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be just like him. There's a regeneration process going on. Our mind is being renewed, but we'll know all things when we see him. Our body is being healed on this side of heaven, but when Jesus comes, it'll be changed, and we'll have a glorified body. Amen. I'll have even more energy than I do now. He'll turn the clock back. 72 is not a bad age, but 33 is better, which I think, I don't know for sure, but I think all glorified bodies are going to be in those 30s. I'm thinking Jesus was perfect when he went to heaven. Not only do we have a wonderful, but sometimes difficult to comprehend, identity now as the children of God, with all that's revealed about our present state while we're in this mortal body, you know, we've been born again, we've been made into a new creation, but at the same time, John says here that there's more to come. He has a promise that we are destined to be like Jesus himself when he is revealed. Jesus is coming again. We know this in many passages of Scripture, but you know 1 Thessalonians 4, right? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. With a shout. Come on, say it. With a shout. And the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. God has a trumpet. He's going to blow it. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain. Are you alive? Do you plan to be alive and remain? Amen. Remain what? Remain faithful. Remain true. Remain overcoming. Amen. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Two things I look forward to. The completion of the renewal of my mind. I get so disgusted at my brain not being able to think with God and think like God. I have to really work, don't I? To think with God and think like God. If you never sit and muse and read the scriptures and pray and think like God, think with God, you'll never think like God. The way I learned to think about myself as the Bible says is I thought about it. And you know, I'm beginning to believe God has changed my life. And not only has he changed my life, but I can change some more. When? Is he done with you? Big changes have come, but he's not done. Amen. But I believe he that has begun a good work in you will complete it, will finish it. I believe that about myself. So two things. One is I really look forward to my mind being totally renewed. And the other one is I just can't wait to see what's going to be going on in the ages to come. You know, I'm not going to heaven to become a heavenly hobo. Float around on the clouds. Say, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. People say, well, we're going to heaven. We're all going to worship God forever. I'm like, you can't even worship him for a half hour at church. Half the people, by the time you get to the fourth song, and maybe the guy at the piano is anointed, so he wants to sing the verse 7 or 8 times. And by the fourth time, you're kind of done. So you're just kind of hanging out. Oh, yeah, brother, but we're going to heaven. We're going to worship God forevermore. You can't even worship. We're going to pray. You can't get the prayer meeting. Glory to God. Well, I'm meddling now. But men and women, boys and girls, become the sons of God by regeneration and transformation. John 1:12 clearly says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right. One translation, the power, the authority to become the children of God to those who believe in his name. Have you believed in his name?
Yes.
Then you have the power to be who God has called you to be. Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I love God. I love my identity as a son of God. I love the family of God. My identity is wrapped up in you, in Grace Christian Center. This is my family. I love this family. I'm part of this family. This is who I am. We have a common faith and a common father. Doesn't matter what your family may look like naturally, you can come into the family of God and have a great family wherein all the families of the earth may be blessed, because the blessing of Abraham has come on the Gentiles through Christ, and all the promises of God to him are yes, amen, and they're ours. We have a spirit of adoption that says anybody's welcome. Come on in. We will help you get right with God if you'll help us get right with God. And we'll all get righter, if there's such a word, getting righter with God. I'm getting righter and righter. Coming more to the knowledge of the truth. We always connect with life and express life out of our identity. Did you ever know that? I had a brother, Larry. He's since gone on to be with the Lord, but in the 70s, he came out to visit me in Minneapolis. And Larry was a wild child. He come out to Minnesota. He said, "I'm called me up. Ron, I'm coming through Minnesota. I could really stand a place to stay and take a bath there. I'm headed out to South Dakota to the motorcycle deal out there." And so here he come. He's got his hair down and a bandana on. He's got this chick on the back. Her name is Bambi. So Larry and Bambi come rolling up in the yard. And, of course, Scott and Stacy are just about this big, so they're thrilled. They get on the bike, and he's running them up and down the street, you know. I'm living in this really nice neighborhood in Minneapolis. I'm the worship leader for the church downtown, and people are not used to seeing me with my brother. He's like, but we see, we're from the same natural family, but we had two different identities. Larry was bound determined he was going to look like a biker, act like a biker, drink like a biker, be crazy like a biker. He expressed his life out of his identity, and I expressed my life out of my identity. See how important identity is. My first identity is a son of God, because it is my eternal destiny and purpose. I don't want to do anything to foul up my identity and my purpose. And then my family, the local expression of who the eternal church is. Unless you have a local expression of the body of Christ, there is no expression of the body of Christ in the earth. And so I have an identity in the hope of the resurrection. and in my part of the identity in the new heavens and the new earth. I like having an eternal view. I like being an eternal person. Because, Gene, I can tell you that sometime in eternity, you will forget about the disappointments of this life. I don't know how long it's going to take me, but my boat got wrecked and the back end of it got full of water. It was about a, $8,000-$9,000 bill to repair it. So I sold that thing for pennies on the dollar. Every time I look at a picture of my Daystar, my yacht I sold, I'm thinking, wonder what year in eternity I'll forget about that thing. Because people did me wrong. People did me wrong. People hurt my heart. They violated my body and my spirit. I've had some things done to me that never should have happened. My first wife was killed in a car wreck by a drunken man. Those things hurt. They hurt deeply and they hurt a long time. But I'm telling you, there's an eternity that's going to resolve all these disappointments and conflicts. I'm disappointed in myself. I missed opportunities. Things went by that I could have done, I didn't do. They're forever gone and lost. I cannot do them. I'm so disappointed in myself sometimes. But I'm here to tell you, I'm an eternal man, and I believe in eternity. There'll be a day when none of this matters. So I'm beginning to live my eternal life now. I figure, well, if I'm going to have joy in 10,000 years, why can't I have a little joy right now? Eternity resolves all things. Colossians 1:20. He has resolved all things, whether they're in heaven or in earth, by the blood of his cross. The blood of Jesus gives me eternal life, which resolves everything. I was thinking about that this morning. There's going to be a day in eternity when I can't remember the names of either Pelosi or Trump. Now that'll make you happy. That'll get you out of the today news into the good news that there is an eternity that resolves all conflict. Everything's resolved there. Well, they wouldn't let me do this, or they wouldn't let me do that, or I got fired over there, I got this and that, and yang, 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 yang. None of that's going to matter. So you might as well live your identity in God now, which is in the, I am an eternal son of God, and I will see the victory in all things. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called. Are you called? What are you called? Sons and daughters of God. According to his purpose. God always wants a family. He made us in his likeness and image in the Genesis book. In the Revelation, we're all with him. We're ruling and reigning on the earth as his family. That's the purpose of God. Sons and daughters. It's your highest calling. I love being a father, a grandfather, great-grandfather. I love being a pastor. I love being a businessman. I love all the things I'm doing and being. But most of all, I love my highest calling as a son of the living God. For whom he did foreknow, verse 29 of Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. When he appears, I'll be like him. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is my older brother. He's Lord. He's the judge of all. I should fear him, but he's also my friend. The judge is my friend. Ooh, now that'll preach. Verse 30, moreover, there's always more to this story. The gospel story is better than any Ron Popeil ad on TV. Remember when he says, but wait, there's more. There's always more, 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 more. I want to pour out the more of God. He predestined, he called whom he called, he also justified, made it just as if I had never sinned. And whom he justified, those he also glorified. Woo! I'm coming to believe that I do not practice sin because that's not who I am. Do you see how your identity in God changes your behavior? 1 John 3:6, whoever abides in him does not sin. I don't go around stealing stuff because that's not who I am. I don't go around committing adultery because that's not who I am. Have I ever stolen anything? Yeah. Have I ever committed adultery? Well, the Lord says if you think about it, you have. So, you know, you have to say, Lord, I need your help every day, every moment. I don't make a practice of stealing because that's not who I am. I don't make a practice of adultery because that's not who I am. I don't make a practice of lying because that's not who I am. Have I ever lied? Yeah. How do I look in this dress? Oh, you look great. Sometimes you'd rather lie than die. But seriously, you know people who are liars. You know people who are adulterers. You know who people are thieves. They practice thieving. They practice lying. They practice adultery. He's saying here that if you abide in him, if you have an identity in him, you begin to act more like him than your self-life. You begin to kill your self-life and be alive unto God. That's what he means here. I pray regularly because that's what Jesus did. And I'm a son of God discovering who I am and the benefits of being like him. That's why I pray a lot. People won't come to prayer meeting. Why? Because they just don't want to discover who they are and what they're supposed to do. I'm learning to intercede, a kind of prayer that Jesus is continuing to do. How many have read the scripture? He ever lives to make intercession for us. How many know there's a prayer of intercession where you get between the person in need and the horns of the altar and you pull down heaven to earth until they see an answer? Their need becomes a compassion in you and you just won't let go until you see God bring the victory. One of the things a pastor must do is pray and pray and pray prayers of intercession for his people. John Watson taught me that years ago. He said, if you're going to be a pastor, you need a prayer life. Praise God. Why do I study the Word? Because Jesus is the Word, and that's who I'm trying to be like. So I need to know the Word. Why do I lay hands on the sick and expect them to be healed? Because that's what Jesus, my older brother and son of God, did, and that's what I do. I do the things I do because of who I am. Why do I operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Because I'm a son of the living God. I'm supposed to. That's what Jesus did. He knew what people are thinking. He knew what to say. He knew what to ask. He knew what to do. He did what he saw the Father do. He spoke what he heard the Father say. And he saw signs, wonders, and miracles. And he demonstrated what the sons and daughters ought to do. And then he said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel, baptize them, teach them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. Go into all the cities, preach the kingdom, heal the sick, raise the dead. He told them. He gave them commandments. And so those same commandments come to us, and we do these things because that's who we are. We're not trying to be something we're not. Let me skip to the chase here. Oh, I got to share this one. Remember the widow of Nain? She's coming down out of the city of Nain. She's got her dead boy, her only son, on a briar. And Jesus is coming uphill. We are the counterculture. The culture of death is going downhill. The culture of life's going uphill. Jesus encounters her, and he says, I got good news for you. There's a divine reversal in your life. And I'm going to reverse the forecast of death. I tell you, something's happening in the sons of God in this age. We've entered into a new time. When we see death and destruction pulling things down, we're going to make an appeal to heaven, and we're going to announce a divine reversal, and life is going to change. When we meet people who haven't had a job for a long time, we're going to change their identity, get them thinking differently, and God is going to do a divine reversal in their life. We have people that haven't had a raise for a long time. We're going to begin to say, we believe the blessing of God is upon you, and you're going to see raises and promotions, and it's going to happen. How many in here have had raises, new jobs, changes? Amen. Why? Because we have the power of the sons of God to say a thing, have it be established, and light shine on our path. That's Job 22:28, I think. Yeah. You shall declare a thing, and it shall be established, and light will shine on your path. Oh, God, do something. Oh, Ron, I've already done it. I gave you my only begotten son. He died and was raised from the dead. He went to heaven, got the promise of God, poured out the Holy Ghost on you. The Spirit of God came in you, changed you from a dead man to a life man. He brought you out of darkness into his kingdom. You've been given the kingdom of God. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now start declaring a few things and see it come to pass. Your identity has changed. You are who the Bible says you are. You can do the things the Bible says you can do. Would you stand with me, please? Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel to the purifying of your souls, the purifying of your bodies, the purifying of your relationships, your divine destinies and decrees. And he says, now go into the world and begin to speak and do the things God leads you to do and say. To see divine turnarounds in your life and in your families, in your cities and regions, and in the state of Michigan, in the nation of the United States of America, and in nations that I will yet send you to. Some of us are going to nations. And when we land there, God's going to give us things to speak and say and do that will turn the world upside down. So I release to you a new identity. As sons and daughters of Almighty God. In Jesus' name, I release a gift to you. God, old Paul said in Romans 1, he says, I desire to come to you that I might share some spiritual gift to you. Beloved, you are now the sons of God. I release a destination. I release a purpose. I release a divine identity that you've never comprehended before. I open your comprehension. I release a declaration of the spirit of comprehension to comprehend the height, depth, length, and width of the love of God that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Belinda sends her love and greetings. She can't wait to be home. I'll tell her. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.